All right, everybody have a seat. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Now, while we're turning there, I'm going to need a couple of people to help me out. Now, Julie warned you that today's going to be a little bit different. And for several reasons. One is I'm going to use volunteers. Oh, I like it. Pastor sitting on the floor. You don't see that every day. I love it. All right, so I need a couple of volunteers. Now, already one person has been volunteered for me. Because I've had two people come to me that were in the early service, and they said, you have to use Mr. Brad for this. Because apparently in the first service, I used Miss Brad. I was told y'all knew what that would mean. And Mr. Brad, where's Mr. Brad at? Mr. Brad, okay, back in the back, right back there. All right, come on up here. All right. I don't know why they wanted to volunteer you for this, but come on up. Now, I can tell you've got some strength. Now, you're a firefighter, is that right? Okay, perfect. Come on up here. There is no fire involved, and that's a good thing. All right, so come on up. Brad, good to meet you. Now, I need to choose one person out here, and you're going to be in a competition against them, and it's a competition of speed and strength. Speed and strength. And so the person I'm going to put you in competition, if she's willing, Lila, would you be willing to help us up here? Okay, come on up, Lila. Come on up. All right, fantastic, fantastic. All right, we're going to have a competition. Mr. Brad versus Lila, what's your name? Oh, perfect. Okay. And how old are you, Lila?
Seven.
Give me five. Okay, now, Lila, now I want you to look. You're going to be in a competition against Mr. Brad right there of strength and speed. Okay? And so this is what's going to happen. I'm going to give each of you a piece of paper, and in a moment, I'm going to give you 10 seconds, and you're going to tear that paper. You're going to tear it in half, tear it in half, tear it in half. Just tear it into as many little bitty pieces as you can. Okay, Lila, just tear many pieces as you can. Okay, same with you, Brad. You're just going to tear it up. Whoever tears the most pieces, and it's okay. If they fall on the ground while you're tearing it, that is fine. But whoever tears up to the most pieces, that's the person that wins. Okay, Lila, you think you're going to beat him? All right. All right. You looked surprised that she thought she was going to beat you. He's like, oh, well, really? Okay, Mr. Brad versus Lila, a couple of rules you need to know. One is, Lila, you can't use your teeth. In other words, you can't go bite yet. Only your hands. Only your hands. And the other rule is you can't pull out that big, manly pocket knife. Lila, you got to leave that up, okay? So just keep that pocket knife. You know, don't use anything but your hands. Now, I'm going to give you a piece of paper that says world and you one that says God. And when I say go, just tear it into as many little bitty pieces as you can. Here we go. Ready? On your mark. Get set. Go! All right, good. You're doing great, Lila. Keep tearing. Keep tearing. Here we go. Keep going. Here we go. About five, four, three, two, one, and stop. All right, Lila, fantastic. All right, now we're going to take your pieces, and we're going to compare all of your pieces with Brad's pieces. Brad, was I not clear with the instructions? Okay, now, I've got to tell you the reason why. Lila, the reason he has one piece of paper and the reason he didn't tear it is because this was not a fair competition. This is a piece of untearable paper. In other words, he couldn't tear it. Now, a minute ago, I handed them two pieces of paper, one that said God and one that said world. And I want you to know this morning, if you're living for the things of this world, if that's what's important to you, when this life is over, this is what you're going to be left with. Nothing that matters. But if you live for the things of God, the eternal things that really matter, nothing and nobody can tear them away from you. Now, I want you to stick out your hand like this, Lila. Yeah, stick out one hand. Good, good. Brad, come on over here. We're going to do a more fair competition. Okay, yeah, at the elbow. Just kind of reach like that right there. Okay. Now, Lila, have you ever seen tug of war? Okay. In tug of war, two sides pull against each other, okay? Now, in tug of war, guys, in tug of war, which side wins? The side that's the strongest, that's the side that wins. Okay, so we're going to illustrate this. We're going to illustrate this. So on the count of three, we're going to have our own competition of tug of war. Lila, you ready for this? All right. You think you're going to win? All right, Lila. Okay, here we go. On the count of three, one, two. Okay, we're not really going to do this because she would throw you over the edge, Brad. And they don't want to see that. They don't want to see that. Okay, go ahead and let go. This is what I want you to see. In your life, there's a tug. And that tug, the things of God are pulling you one direction. The things of the world are trying to pull you a different direction. And there's this tug going on in your lives. And you know what's going to win in your life? What's going to win that tug is what's strongest in your life. Okay, now picture it this way. Let's say, Lila, let's say I've got two dogs. Let's say I've got a brown dog and I've got a black dog. Okay, and these dogs, they don't like each other. And so they get in the backyard and they're always fighting with each other. Okay, now we're just pretending. I really don't have two big dogs. I've got two small dogs and they really do like each other. But we'll pretend two big dogs, they don't like each other. They're always fighting. And so let's say I leave town. And like, let's say I come someplace like here because I'm from Oklahoma. Don't hold that against me. And so I'm from Oklahoma. I leave my dogs there. Let's say I go to my neighbor and I say, hey, I want you to feed my dogs. But he goes over and he only sees the brown dog. And so he feeds the brown dog, gives the brown dog water, doesn't see the black dog. All week long, the brown dog gets fed. The black dog doesn't. Let's say I come home and at the end of the week, they get in the backyard and those dogs start fighting. Now, which dog's going to win? Yeah, the brown dog. Why? Because he got fed. And folks, I want you to know, in this tug between the things of God and the things of the world, what's going to win in your life is what's stronger. And what's stronger is what you feed. If you feed the things of the world into your life, that's what's going to win. You pour your life into living for Jesus and you surrender everything for Him and you live for the things that matter to God. That's where you're going to discover the life that God created you to have. All right, give Lila and Brad, give them a hand. Y'all did fantastic. Good job. Now, in your Bibles, Mark chapter 8, and I want you guys to hear this story right here. Mark chapter 8, and I'm going to sit down here with you guys. All right, Mark chapter 8, and this is what the Bible says. Verse 31, it says, and Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and 3 days later rise again. And Jesus was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and rebuked him. In other words, he got on to Jesus because he didn't like what he was saying, that Jesus was going to die and 3 days later come back to life. He didn't like that. So he got on to Jesus, and the Bible says, but turning around and seeing the disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter, and he said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. And Jesus summoned the multitude and with his disciples, and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? In other words, you gain the whole world, but what good is it going to do? If you gain all this stuff, all the money in the world, all the wealth, all the fame in the world, all these things that people are living for and that say, hey, you do this, it's really going to matter, but it's not God's stuff, it's things of the world. If you gain all that stuff and at the end of your life you die, but you haven't lived for Jesus, what good has it done? There was a man, he was getting ready to die, and he knew it was coming, so he told his wife. He said, I want you to get some bags of money, and I want you to put it in the attic right above their bedroom. He said, when I die, I'm going to grab it on my way up. A few days later, he passed away. A few weeks went by, she was in the attic, there was the bags of money, and she said, oh, I knew I should have put it in the basement. Okay, guys, that's not a true story. But the point is this. When you were born, what did you bring into the world with you? Nothing. When you leave, you're not going to take any of this stuff with you either. The only thing that's going to go with you is your relationship with God and the people that you brought to Jesus. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. We're going to do this at camp. At camp, hold up your finger like this right here. When I say, who should be number one in your life, as loud as you can, I want you to say Jesus. Who should be number one in your life?
Jesus!
Oh, okay, good. Adults, it's your turn. Adults, who should be number one in your life?
Jesus!
That's right, but we've got a problem because we get distracted by all these things in the world, so I want you to hold out one finger like this and put up one thumb like this. This is what I want you to see. All right, in fact, I'm going to get a few volunteers up here to help me. All right, so I tell you what. Ashwin, come on up here. And, come on up here. I've got two girls. Let me get a guy. Okay, got to have it right back here. Yeah. It's sitting on the floor. Yeah, pointing to yourself. And then, wait. I've got two. It's one's, Preston and, tell me your name again. Yeah, what's your name? Oh, Preston. Oh, I got it. Preston, and then tell me your name. Okay, I got you. Okay, Preston, come on up here. You're the one I was pointing to. All right, now let me get two adults. Pastor, where are you at? Pastor? Where's your pastor at? Oh, I'm sorry. You just blended with the kids. I didn't see you there. Forgot you were sitting there. Pastor, come on up here. And where's the other Brad at? Brad, come up here. All right. Now, I know the reason why people didn't want me to use him a second time was because in the first service, when he tried to rip that paper, he almost tore his shirt, the muscles. And all right. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your finger like this and put your thumb up like this. All right? Yeah. One finger out, one thumb up. And y'all do it with me. Y'all do it too. That's right. Okay. Now, all you have to do, in fact, we'll do it this way. Okay, y'all put your fingers down for a second. Okay, no practice on your part. I want you to watch them first. Okay, then I'm going to let you try it. So one finger out, one thumb up. Yeah. Okay, one finger out, one thumb up. Yeah, and what you're going to do is you're going to switch them. Yeah, so you're going to switch where the other finger's out and the other thumb's up and switch them back. Switch it one way, switch it back. Okay, now you all give it a shot. Yeah, you're laughing. You're like, oh, that's easy. Okay, give it a shot. Ready? One thumb up, one finger out. Here we go. Switch. Yeah, it can't be like this. Yeah. I saw one of your adults, and they did this. They went, and they're like, I got it. That's not a problem. Okay, now let me tell you what's going on. The reason it's hard, is because your brain is trying to do two things at one time. In other words, you've divided your mind. You're trying to raise your thumb and stick out your finger at the same time, and you're trying to do two things at once. And you know what? The Bible says this. The Bible says you can't have two masters because you're going to love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You can't serve both God and the things of this world. So the secret to learning how to do this, it's this. You've got to think of it as one. In other words, when I put my finger out, it pushes my thumb up. Now it's not two different motions, it's one. And in your life, if you live a divided life going this way and that tug, you're always going to be split. What you need to do is let go of the things that are holding you back so that you can absolutely, totally surrender to Jesus Christ. All right, give them a hand for helping me. You guys can have a seat. And I'm going to tell you guys a story real quick, but it's one that I guarantee probably everybody in the room's heard it. So I want you to close your eyes real quick. Close your eyes. And this one I want you to picture. I want you to picture Jesus, and he's praying. And he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's sweating. And he's sweating like great drops of blood. And then he gets up, and he wakes up some of his disciples, and a crowd is coming, and they've got swords and spears and torches, and they've come to arrest Jesus. And they come closer right up to where he is. They're getting ready to take him away. They're getting ready to arrest him. Now open your eyes and look right up here. And in that crowd was Peter, the same Peter right here that was like, no, this can't happen. And Jesus said, hey, your mind is not on God's things, it's on man's things. Well, Peter, you know what he does? When they go to take Jesus to arrest him, Peter pulls out a sword. Did y'all know this? See, a lot of people, they don't tell this part of this. He pulls out a sword. He's going to defend Jesus. And the Bible says he takes that sword and he swings it. And he cuts off a man's ear. Yeah. Yeah, now this guy, he was a temple servant. Peter was probably not aiming for his ear. He was probably, I don't know if the guy moved or if Peter just had bad aim. But he cut off this man's ear. Now picture this. That crowd has come to arrest Jesus. Peter pulled out a sword, cut off a guy's ear. And you know what Jesus does? He steps in and he turns to Peter. He says, Peter, those that live by the sword die by the sword. And then he reaches down and he picks up that man's ear. And he takes that bloody ear and Jesus puts it back on the man's head. And the man is totally fine. Not hurt, not bleeding anymore. Guys, I don't know about you. If I had come to arrest Jesus and he did that, I think I'd be going home. But that Jesus went with. He let them arrest him. And the disciples, they ran away, and then they took Jesus and they put him on trial. And then all of these witnesses got up and they told their stories about Jesus, but their stories didn't even agree. And finally, the high priest, the religious leader, he looked out and he said, "Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "I am." And as soon as Jesus said, "I am," the Bible says one of the temple guards, he stepped out and he punched Jesus because Jesus claimed to be God's son. He punched him. And the crowd must have gone crazy because Jesus saying he was God's son, that was blasphemy. That was that was a crime worth death. And the Bible says that they grabbed the whiskers of his beard and they yanked it out of his face. And the Bible says they spit at him. And at one point they covered his eyes and they would hit him. And they'd say, "Oh, if you're God's son, prophesy to me. Tell me my name. Prophesy." That they beat Jesus like that. And then they took Jesus to the governor because they didn't have the right to kill him. And the governor couldn't find anything wrong with him. But he found out he was from up north. Jesus was from Nazareth. And King Herod was around, so he sent him to Herod. And Jesus stood in front of Herod, didn't say a word, and Herod got frustrated, sent him back. Now these soldiers, these Roman soldiers, they'd been watching all this. Now these Roman soldiers, they hated the Jews. They had come in and taken over the Jews, and the Jews were always causing trouble. They hated the Jews. And finally, here is a Jew that even the Jews hate. And they call him the King of the Jews. And so these soldiers, they decide they're going to make him a crown. And so they take this big old thing of thorns, and they make this crown of thorns. And the Bible says they take it, and they stick it down on Jesus' head. I mean, big old long thorns. Stick it on his head. And then they take a stick, and they put it in Jesus' hand. Because a king needs a crown, and a king, he needs a scepter. It's like a cane of royalty. And so here's Jesus, crown of thorns, stick, and then these Roman soldiers, the Bible says they get down around him, and they pretend to worship Jesus. "Oh, King of the Jews, we worship you." And the Bible says they laughed at him, and they made fun of him. And then when they were done making fun of him, the Bible says they grabbed the stick out of his hand, and they beat him on the head with it. And then they took Jesus back to the governor. And the governor had Jesus whipped. Now, when he had him whipped, we don't really know why he did it. A little unusual. Because if you were going to kill somebody, you usually didn't do this to him. But it might have been because all of these angry religious leaders, kill him, and maybe he thought if I beat him bad enough, they'll back off. And so they took Jesus and they tied him up either on a pole or in a doorway. And each one of these soldiers had a whip with 9 ends. Now, on the end of each one of these ends were things like bone or metal, anything that would act like a hook. Now, I'm not going to describe to you how horrible this was. But 2 soldiers would take these, usually one in front and one back, and they would sling it, and the 9 ends would dig into his skin, and they'd pull. And the front and the back, and they'd start with up the shoulders, and they'd work their way down. And guys, I'm not going to tell you what people in history wrote about this, because literally, when I read how cruel this was, guys, it made me sick to my stomach. But I'll say this. People that could recognize a person before they were beaten with this probably wouldn't recognize them afterwards. And the reason the Romans did this was to beat somebody so bad, to beat them to the point of death and then back off. And it was to let them live. And the rest of their life, they would walk around scarred and disfigured all over their body. And everybody that would see them would go, "That's why you don't mess with the Romans. Mess with the Romans, that's what they do to you." And so they beat Jesus. Now these soldiers, they were taught nobody could survive 40 lashes with this. And so they beat Jesus 39 times. And then they took Jesus and they put a cross on his back. And folks, I want you to know, this is Jesus. I mean, he raised the dead. He made blind people see. But he is so hurt. Hey guys, Jesus' body is so broken that the Bible says he can't carry his cross. He falls down under it. And the soldiers realized he can't carry it. I mean, the God who spoke everything and it was there. And so they grab a guy from the crowd, and he carries Jesus' cross, and they take him up, and they put nails, one through each hand, and put the feet together, and they put one nail through the feet, and then they lifted Jesus up. Now, when I was young, y'all's age, I didn't understand how this killed a person until somebody explained it to me, that when they stretched you out, they did it in a way where for you to get a breath of air, you had to pull yourself up on those nails through your hands to get a breath. And you're pushing on that one nail through your legs to give your lungs the room to get air. So every breath, you're pulling yourself up on nails. And eventually your arms would get so tired. And the people they crucified, people wrote how you could see their muscles in the chest start spasming. I mean, you could literally see their muscles because their arms were so tired. And finally, their arms wouldn't even work. And they'd be pushing on that one nail through their feet. And if they lived too long, the soldiers would break their legs. And they couldn't breathe. They'd die. Now, they did not break Jesus' legs. He was perfect in every way. But for 6 hours, Jesus hung on that cross, pulling his broken body up on nails, because that's how much he loves you. Adults, because that's how much he loves you. He could have healed himself. He could have said the word and a million angels would have come down. He could have come down off the cross. In fact, while he's dying, people are laughing at him, saying he could save others, he can't save himself. Come down, then we'll believe you. He could have come down. But if he had come off of that cross, there's not a person in this room or this world that could have eternal life. You see, this was the punishment for our sin, for the wrong things we've done. He was taking our beating. He was taking our death. That's the punishment for sin. The Bible says, he became sin that you might become the righteousness of God in him. And finally, he looks out and he says, it's finished, paid in full. He dies. And he's dead for 3 days. But then after 3 days, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He beat death. He beat sin. He beat the grave. He's alive. And not only is Jesus alive, he's in this room. And he loves you. In fact, can I use you for a second? Come here. All right, come on up here. Now tell me your name. Okay, turn around here. And won't we say your name again? Okay, Simmer?
Summer.
Oh, and are you a force of nature? Oh, I'm just kidding. Okay, Summer. Okay, look right out here. This is what I want you to know. Summer, no, okay, how old are you?
Seven.
What if I told you that God knew that you would stand here wearing that force of nature dress 12 and a half years ago? Would you believe me? No. Summer, what if I told you that 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross, he already knew your name? Would you believe me? Okay. Yes, that's right. She said, he knows all of our names. Yes. Summer, what if I told you that before God even made the world, before he even blew breath into Adam, God already knew that you would be here, and he already loved you. And Summer, he already had plans for your life. Would you believe me? Because it's true. This is what I want you to see. See Summer here? This is the power of God's love for you, Summer. If you were the only person that was ever born, Jesus loves you so much, he would have given his life to make a way to save you. And adults, I want you to know, I'm not just talking to them. I'm talking to you. Jesus died. not to give us church buildings or steeples and bells. Folks, he died to give you life. And the life you have always wanted, you will only ever find when you come to Jesus Christ and you surrender your life to him. Give Summer a hand for helping me. Summer, you can have a seat. When Jesus was on the cross, there were two criminals next to him. And that's what these cups right here are going to represent. And so when Jesus was on the cross, when they crucified him, they had one criminal on this side and one criminal on that side. And then they put Jesus in the middle and they put a sign at the top that said, King of the Jews. Now these criminals, I don't know what all bad stuff they had done, but I do know this. Whatever they had done, it was worthy. I mean, the Roman government had said they deserved to die. In other words, they were probably some pretty bad men. Probably worse than anybody in this room. Now, this is what I want you to think about. See that water right now? See how clear that is? Crystal clear. You know why it's crystal clear? Because that right there is pure, perfect water. And you know how I know it's pure and perfect? You know, because it came out of your bathroom sink back here. That's why. Yeah. Okay, well, let's pretend it's pure and perfect water. All right, and let's pretend. Now, watch. I'm going to take one drop of this. And see all these warnings, a bunch of warnings on here. This is a chemical. Now this chemical right here, I'm going to put one drop. Let's see if I can get just one in there. Oh, there we go. Do you see that drop right there? Now you guys up close, you can see it, can't you? See how that's spreading out? Now at the back, you probably can't see that at all. You know, this represents sin. And it's easy to hide sin from people, especially from a distance. See at the back, they can't see that. You guys, you can probably start to see a color change. Now, would you drink this if I gave it to you? Oh, you're like, no. But I only put one drop in there. But you see, it only takes one to ruin the whole thing. And I meet a bunch of people all the time. In fact, I met somebody this last week. And they thought they were going to heaven because they were good. But if you've done one bad thing, it only takes one to ruin the whole thing. But most of us, we've done a lot more than one bad thing. We've done a lot. Look at that right there. Some of y'all, you get two squirts. Now, these criminals next to Jesus, I don't know what all they'd done. You know, but there was something very different about the two of them. And the difference was not that one was better than the other. And the difference was not that, you know, one was kinder or one had done worse thing. The difference was how they responded to Jesus. Because on the cross, one of them looked at Jesus and he said, save yourself and us too. In other words, get yourself down and take us with you. And the other criminal over here, he said, don't you get it? We're dying for the things that we've done wrong. But this man is innocent. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. This man was willing to put his trust, his faith in Jesus. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. You see, when a person comes to Jesus and they're willing to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, see, no matter what they've done, hey, adults, no matter where you've been, no matter how bad you've been, I met a guy, he fought in Vietnam. He thought that there was no way that God could ever forgive him. And he never told me what he did. But whatever it was, he didn't think that God was big enough to forgive his sin. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. There's nothing you can do that God can't forgive if you're willing to come to him. And the moment you come to Jesus, now watch real close, and you ask Jesus to come into your life, and Jesus comes in, he takes every wrong thing that you have ever done, and faster than the blink of an eye, he forgives your sin, and he makes you new again. Now, these two criminals, they represent two different kinds of people. There are those who are saved because they put their faith in Jesus, and there are those who are lost because they haven't. There are those who've given their life to Christ, and they're going to heaven. And then there are those, and they're not going to heaven. Two kinds of people, saved, lost, gave my life to Jesus, haven't made that decision yet. It's not one's better than the other. It's how you've responded to Jesus. And every one of you is one of these two people. Right now, you're going to heaven or you're not. You're saved or you're not. You belong to Jesus or you don't. You're one of these two people. Now, I can't tell you which one, but in your heart, if you're not certain that you're going to heaven, has there ever been a time where you surrendered everything to Jesus? That's when you're saved. It's not when you say a prayer. There's no magic words that save you. It's when you give your life to Christ. That's when the change happens. And when Jesus comes into your life, that's when you discover the life that God created you to have. And guys, I want you to know, and we're going to talk about this at camp some, and it's this. If you know Jesus, you never have to be scared to tell other people about Jesus. You see, I met a guy this last week, or a girl, and she told her friend about Jesus. And her friend got saved because she told her about Jesus. You know what? There's a lot of people that talk about how hard it is. And guys, I want you to know, if you've given your life to Jesus and your friend hasn't, hey, adults, you can be the one to take Jesus to them so that they can have what you have. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody's looking around, I have a couple of questions. First question is, do you know for sure, certain, without a doubt, that you have eternal life, that you'll go to heaven someday? Second question is, what are you living for? Lots of people living for the things of the world. Lots of Christians coming to church every Sunday, but looking in the mirror thinking, surely God created me for something more than this. Surely there's got to be more to life than this, breathing, feeling, existing, but missing out on the life that God created them to have. Even though they're saved, the things of the world have come in. Hey folks, today, what's holding you back from coming to Jesus and say, Jesus, I let go. I'm letting go of the things of the world. I'm letting go of my sin. Maybe you come and you say, I'm letting go of all the things that have distracted me from totally following you. What's holding you back? Because if you can say, hey, there's something that's holding me back, let go. What good does it do if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, thank you for these guys and girls. And God, I pray that those going to camp, that Father, this camp would be absolutely amazing. That Lord, that you would touch all of our hearts. And Lord, I pray for the adults in the room. Father, if there's distractions in their life or sin that's come in, or Lord, maybe they've just lost their first love, then God, I pray that they would let go of whatever's holding them back from totally following you. And Lord, I pray that they would surrender and follow you every day in every way. God, we love you and we praise you. Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross and you rose again to give us life. In Jesus' name we pray.